Well, good morning, church. And a blessed Chinese New Year to all of you. Blessed Chinese New Year to all of you. Since this is the year of the dog, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, wang wang, alright? Which means wish you a prosperous 2018, yeah? You know, at the staff meeting, right, this you thing has been going around, and I was sharing with the staff that I already got wind about how Pastor Daniel has been having fun with my surname. As you know, my surname is Yu by now, and his surname is Wee. So he has been telling the staff about something like, you know, last time we do the work, but now it's you do the work. Wow, you know. I haven't started my work yet, alright? And I could feel the pressures coming on. But I received another revelation that's quite interesting. There's a reason why your former pastor, Pastor Darren, if you remember him, that he has to come before me. Because Pastor Darren's surname is Darren Chu, right? So if you put Pastor Daniel, Pastor Darren and me together, it become we choose you. Wow, so I thank God for that, you know. So I, some form of assurance that I'm not here by chance, right? That we choose you. And, but a sister came up to me after that and she said that, you know, Pastor, by the way, Pastor Darren's surname Chu, there's no S-E. So it means we choose you. Oh no, like that also can. But the staff has been very nice to me, and there are many of you has been very welcoming for myself and my family. So I want to thank all of you for such a lovely and warm welcome to us. So thank you for that, and I think for that you deserve a clap for yourself, right? Thank you for all right for us who came from another church. And I also believe I was sent here for another reason. And God has a message for you. That's right. And He wants you to know He loves. He is with. And He is doing a new thing in. Amen. Let's give a lot of clap offering, alright? Alright. So are we ready for God's word for this morning? Amen. That's right. Let's go for it. All right. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 to 13. All right. Quite a few passages to read, so just be patient with me. But if you have the Bible, please turn to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 to 13. Verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on them, and to our God, for He will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and make it a bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I send it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. I'm wondering this morning, you know, are you at the situation where you need guidance and counsel from God? Are you going through troubles in life and you are stuck at the situation and you do not know what to do next? Or you make a mistake, and it's a bad mistake. And you're wondering, is there opportunity for a second chance in life? Or maybe some of us here, you know that you've sinned against God. And you have not done it just one time, and you've done it many times. And you're wondering, is there forgiveness for people like me? Will God accept me if I come back to Him today? And this morning I want to encourage you, come to Him. Seek Him today. And He will show you what He wants to do in your life. This word came to Isaiah during one of the worst times in the history of Israel. Israel had fallen because of their sin. They had disobeyed God. They had walked away from God. And so God raised up Babylonia from far to come and destroy the land and took the people away from their homeland. Thousands of people died. Many died on the street. Even the temple symbolizing God's presence was destroyed too. And those were left behind after the war were the beggars and the weak. And they were left behind because they were incapable of doing anything for the countries or build anything at all. So as God's people heard and saw what happened the enemies had done to their land, they felt totally defeated, discouraged, and despair. Many thoughts came into their mind. Has God forsaken His covenant? Has God abandoned us? Will He forgive our sins and give us a second chance? And so it is during this time that God came to Isaiah and spoke to him and saying to his people, you may think that this is the end. You may think that it is finished and it is over. But God saying to them also that was only through the human point of view. So stop dwelling on your past failure. Stop dwelling on thoughts that could not change the situation. Stop dwelling on thoughts that you think that you know better about God. Instead, today, seek Him while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. But what does it mean to seek God? What does it mean to draw near to God? You know, the first thing we do to seek the Lord is call to Him for help. Sometimes when my children are in trouble, and the first thing they do is call their parents, right? They'll call their parents, Papa, I'm in trouble, can you please help me? So likewise, this morning, if you need help from God, if you need help today, you need guidance for your situation, you need some wisdom from the Lord, then who do you call? Not Ghostbusters, alright? Call to the Lord for help. Call to the Lord for help. And this is what you should do when we are in need for God to help us. Call to Him for help. And to seek the Lord, it also means that we must turn from our wicked way. Now, what is the meaning of wickedness? In general, wickedness is referring to someone who are aggressive, violent, someone who can be very selfish, he has no compassion about others, and he cares nothing about the people he attacks. But the root of wickedness is their disregard for the Lord. He has no respect for God, and that is found in Psalms 10 verse 4. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek Him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. So they are arrogant. They are proud. And they despise God. You know, even when God offer Himself and say, come, let me help you. You need help. You need my guidance. The wicked people will say, you know, Lord, I don't need you. I don't need you to help me. I can do things in my own way. I can solve my own problem. But if we want to seek God this morning, first we must learn how to be humble before Him. And to be humble means we acknowledge God is perfect and we are not. To humble means to acknowledge that He is God and we are not. You know, unless we acknowledge that God is perfect and He is God and we are not going to call on Him for help. So to seek God, first we must learn to be humble before Him. But to seek God also means we must set our mind and heart to the promise of God. So to seek God also means that we must focus on the things that God has spoken to us, His promises. You know, the word set means focus intensively. You know, I was watching the 100 meters race at the last Olympic. I wonder how many of you have watched that race by what's the guy's name? Bolt Usain, right? The fastest runner in the world. And I saw him on the TV, alright, and I saw him that while he was preparing himself on the starting line, he was very, very, very focused. You know, his eyes was not on other things, but was focused intensively on the finishing line. You know, I did not see him, all right, while he's preparing himself for the run, and he turned to the left, hey, are you free later? Maybe we should go for something, huh? Or neither did I see him turn to the right, hey, by the way, my name is Bolt, what is your name? He wasn't. He was very focused on the finishing line. On the finishing line. And as the gun banged, and once he heard the bang, he ran with all his heart and mind till he crossed the finishing line. You know, in Kings chapter 18, Elijah was praying for rain on the mountain, and I just took pity on his servant that he had to go through many times, alright, back and forth to give report about whether is the rain coming. And so the servant had to go up and back, and then give a report to Elijah whether is there a sign for the rain. And the servant had to run 7 times, and at the 7 times, then the servant said to Elijah, Master, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. And then Master Elijah said to his servant, now it's time for us to go. I was thinking, would Elijah give up his prayer at the 7 times? In other words, what if at the 7th time, when Elijah came back and he said to Elijah, you know, Master, I'm sorry again, there's no sign of rain. Would Elijah give up his prayer and say, God, I'm sorry, you're not keeping your promise, I'm leaving now? I believe Elijah would not. I believe Elijah will keep praying and carry on praying and carry on focusing his focus on the word of God that what he has promised to him, and he will keep praying and waiting till God fulfilled the promise. Why? Because I believe that in Elijah's heart, he has already believed that with all his heart and mind, the words went out from God's mouth, it would not return to him empty, but would accomplish what he desired and achieve the purpose for which he has sent it. I believe many of us here in our journey with God along the way, God had said some words in your life. You were in a situation and you were asking for help and God gave you a word. You know, initially, you have full of hope, you have full of encouragement when you first received the word of the Lord. You were excited at about what God has been saying to you, and you've been holding on to the promise. But as your journey moves on, more challenges coming into your life. You face more upset back. And then you begin to doubt, and you begin to shake, and then begin to question. You know, God, those words that you've spoken to me, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten those words that you have spoken to me? This morning, I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. God is faithful. The words that come out from His mouth, His promise to you, will not go back empty. He will fulfill His word that He has promised to your life. I was reading the story of Cruz. You know, I thought that was the first thing I must do before I come to this church, is to know more about this church. And when I talk about Cruz, alright, pardon me for that. Many years ago when I first heard about Cruz, people were sharing with me that, you know, this is a very happening church. But when I heard the word Cruz, you know, a thought came into my mind. What kind of church is this? They worship on the cruise. They worship on the ship, alright? C-R-U-I-S-E. Then later I found out, oh no, it was mistakes, alright? It was not really cruise. It was cruise. C-O-O-S. And I want to share with you, my friends and my brothers and sisters in Christ, what God has done in the past for cruise, He's still doing the same thing in this church and in your life today. God is still moving in this church. And you know, so while I was sharing about this cruise thing, Pastor Daniel came to me and said, all right, you know, Joe, by the way, this is not a cruise church. This is a battleship. It's not a cruise ship, that this is a battleship. All right. And it's ready for war. And after my serving 4 weeks at cruise, and I want to say to Pastor Daniel that this is more than just a battleship. This is a battleship with a very powerful turbo. It's moving very fast. And so in my 4 weeks serving in this church, I've been trying to catch up with the things that God is doing in this church. And there are a lot of exciting things happening in this church. There are a lot of testimony that I heard. There are a lot of things that's going on in this church. And God is really moving in this church. I think only one person got excited about it. Because one person said amen. The rest of us, I do not know what happened. Are you really in the cruise ship or in the battleship? Amen? Are you excited about what God is going to do in this church? Alright, come, let's give the Lord a clap offering, alright? Come on, this is a cool church. This is a happening church, alright? Because God is in our midst, okay? And I want you to know that, alright? God is doing a big thing in this church. So let's keep our eyes focused on Him. Let's keep our hearts together and continue to seek Him and pray, all right? And for what God has promised to this church. And I believe revival will come again. I think Pastor Daniel has been talking to us about it. Revival is happening right now. It is. Revival is not just in this church, but in this nation. And I will probably share with you in my next sermon about what I experienced, all right, in the community, all right, about how God is moving in this nation. And I will just leave it to my next sermon, all right, the miracles and the testimony that I witnessed, all right, and about when God talked about His revival that's going on in this nation. But for the time being, we're going to focus on today's passage, all right. And I want to encourage us that let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Let's set our eyes on Him because He's doing a great thing in this church. But maybe some of us will say, you know, Pastor, sometimes it's easy to say things like that when life is good, when there are no problems in life. Sometimes it's so easy to talk about setting our eyes on God, alright? But not when your life is in trouble. It's so easy to talk about setting your eyes on God, but wait till you have trouble. Then you will know that it's not easy. And I want to agree with you. When we are in the midst of trial, hardship, it is really, very hard to focus our eyes on God. It is not just so simple. You know, just fix your eyes on God. It's not that simple when we are going through challenges in life. I do not know what you are going through in lives. But I want you to know that even though you are going through challenges in life, you must not stop seeking God. Because this is one way God will help us to know Him better and to know that He's different from us. You know, God spoke to Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, when I first met my wife, her name is Jocelyn, I thought she was a very howling, you know, and proud lady, because she was so unapproachable. But later on, I realized, actually, the problem is not her. The problem is me. I was struggling with my low self, esteem, and confidence problem. You know what? As I know her better, then I started to realize that she's so different from what I thought initially. And I began to love her more. And as I know more about her, eventually, I want to marry her. I want her to be my wife. But imagine that I stop at my first impression about her. Imagine I stop at the first time I know about her and just allow that thought to convince that that is who she is. I don't think I will know her well. And I don't think that God has actually prepared a good wife for me in my life. And so likewise, I used to think God is someone very fierce. God is someone like to zap, you know, look out, you know, and see when you make mistakes, when you sin against Him, and it's like He's waiting to zap us when we make mistakes. And I used to think that God is someone very fierce because of my background, where I came from. So I used to think that God is someone very fierce. But as I know more about Him, as I grow in my relationship with Him, I begin to realize that, wow, God is so different from what I used to think about Him. My initial talk about Him, you know, that I started to realize that God is holy. I started to realize that God is full of kindness, full of mercy, and He is good and He's gracious. And so the more I know about Him, I want to know more about God. It's so different when I first know about Him. And I also realize that God knows everything. God knows every one of us. You know, He's not like us. He's not like you and me. You know, after I spent my 4 years at my previous church, Chapel of the Holy Spirit, and the size of the church is probably more than 10 times smaller than Kuz. Alright, it's probably about the strength of 200 plus, about 300. And you know, after my spending my 4 times in that church, I still struggle trying to remember everyone's name. There are still some of them in the church that I still cannot remember their names. But how many of us know this morning that each one of you here, God knows your name? How many of us here, each one of us here, God knows everything about your life, everything that you're going through? God knows. Even how many hairs are left on our head, God knows. Even how many of Pastor Daniel's hair turned black from white, He knows. You know, when I first served Pastor Daniel with him in my earliest church, I remember he's full of white hair, right? But ever since he came to Kuz, his hair become black. So when I first saw him, "What happened to you, Pastor Daniel?" So I want to say to you, you guys has done a good job. You guys transformed his hair from white to black. Hallelujah. God is great. You know, friends, God knows everything about us. God loves you very much. If ever there's a time that you doubted His love for you, don't. God loves you more than what you could imagine. You are too precious to Him. And you are too important to Him. And since this is my first sermon, I thought one of the ways for me to introduce myself to you is probably share a little bit about my life, my testimony. And I pray that what God has done in my life will encourage you. All right? I came to know the Lord when I was 14. I believe in Him. I said the sinner's prayer. I believe in Jesus. But I didn't love Him. Because my priority then in life was to be a national badminton player. Alright, the arrow is to point at me because in case you cannot see me, I was much, much skinnier, slimmer. But I'm sure today I look better now because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Agree with me, right? Right? Okay, a little bit skin on my side. Yeah, but that's what God has been saying to me. Huh? Joe, you look handsome. Yes, thank you, Lord. Alright. Yeah. Amen, right? I turn to your neighbor, okay? If your guy say you look handsome, huh? If your lady say you look beautiful, right? Don't ever think that you are not, okay? Yeah, sorry, okay? A bit of running nose. So I was pursuing my badminton. And I have no time to go to church. I never go to church. I was a Christian, but I never go to church. I never pray. I hardly pray. The only time I pray was when I need God. And I need God to help me to play my game, you know, help me God to give me strength to play my game. But other than that, I don't really go to church. I don't really pray. I always say, I believe God in my heart. God knows in my heart. At the peak of my game, I fractured my ankle. And that ended my career. Because also come along with other reasons as well. But I ended my career. And now during those times, it was the most devastating time of my life. Because I invested my whole life almost for it. I gave up many things for it. But now everything was gone. I thought that was it. And I keep saying to me, wantan le. Liao liao, Hokkien say, you know, liao liao, si liao. I didn't see hope in my future. And because I was never good in my study. And so I didn't have any good cert. Except I went to a private A and I got 3 A's for my A level. Absent, absent, and absent. I didn't go for my exam. I'm embarrassed to say that, right? But I gave up, I literally gave up everything. You know, my studies to pursue my goal. And now I lost everything. So at that point, I really thought I was gone. And I even thought of staying single for the rest of my life. Who would want to marry a man like me? Right? No career, no future, no prospect, nothing. But something happened during a church camp. And one night, I could not take it anymore. And so I bent my knee and began to call upon the Lord. I said, God, you know my situation. You know I had left nothing. I said, you have to help me. So I asked God for forgiveness. I repent of my sin. I said, God, you have to help me. And when I was about to finish my prayer, thank you, Pastor. And I was about to finish my prayer, I heard a doorbell. And a brother, whom I didn't share with him anything about what I've been going through, and he said to me, brother, I was praying for you earlier, and God asked me to give you this verse. And he wrote it on a piece of paper. And when I opened it up, it was from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You know, at that point, it's like, wow, so soon. Right? I mean, I was just finished my prayer. I was just asking God to help me. And this verse came into my life. And was just committed in my heart. It must be from you, God. It must be from you, God. And you know what? I broke down and I cried. I thought I was done. I thought I have no future. But God said to me, That was just my thought. That's not his thoughts for me. In him, there's always a way. Even there's no way, he will make a way out for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't that God is good? Good. Amen. God is so good. You know, I just want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters here. If you are in the same situation as me, like me today, don't give up. Don't walk away. Seek Him. And you will find Him. You know, God is faithful to His Word. You know, if not, I won't be standing here, sharing with you my testimony, serving God in church. You know, God did not just assure me that He knows His plan for my future. I never thought that I would be serving full time. But somehow God's way is so different from my ways. As I obey Him, I learn to walk with Him. God just keep the door open for me and to show me, you know, what He has laid out for me. And He did not just assure me that my future is in His hand. He also provided me a good family. And this is my family. Many of you probably, this is the first time you see them. Alright? The one that's standing beside me, she's Jocelyn. She's my wife. And she's here with us this morning. May I ask you to just, you know, put your hands together and just welcome my wife. Thank you so much. Yeah. There are so many good things I want to talk about my wife, but probably not today. Alright? Because along the way in my journey, she has been a great support in my ministry. But I will leave it to another day. Alright? And the guys, alright, following that is my son Josiah. And then after that, my daughter Jolene. So this is a Joe's family. So it's very easy to remember us, alright? This is a Joe's family. And I'm thankful for this family. And I just felt this is really His grace. His God's grace. You know, sometimes when I look back at what I've done, I look at my journey, you know, and I look at where I am today. You know, there's so many things I want to thank God for. Because as I look back at my life, you know, very often I just look, you know, what have I done? You know, what have I done to deserve such God's grace from Him? What have I done, you know, that I deserve such a blessing from Him? You know, all I see is that, yeah, there are times I try my best to follow Him. I try my best to seek Him. But there are many times I fear Him. But God never just reject me because I fear Him. He gave me chances. He changed me, transformed me. And He continued to bless me. And this is a God we are serving this morning. And this is a God that that's why today, this morning, we are here to praise Him and to worship Him. This is a God that's why today we are here to lift up our hands and say, God, how great You are. And I'm sure this morning, I'm not the only one, you know, that have gone through that. And many, I believe that many of you are here today, is because you know that it is His grace, His love. And that's why we are here today. That's why we are here today worshiping Him. It is because of His love that He has for us. Amen for that. Amen. Yeah. But there was one thing I couldn't understand. I need to speed up a little bit. He said, how could God forgive a man like me? You know, I was unfaithful. I was a sinner. I failed Him again and again. But He forgave me again and again. You know, humanly speaking, if someone hurt me once, yeah, I ask for forgiveness. I will give him the chance. Maybe 7 times, I will still give. But what if the person 70 times 7 times? Keep doing the same thing. I will have difficulty to forgive that person. But God is different. He's not the same as us. And when we ask, how many times, God, will You forgive us? He will say to you, you can measure the height of the heaven from earth, and that's how many times I will forgive you. I just want to encourage some of us this morning. If you ever thought that God has, because of what you have done to Him, and He has abandoned you, don't. Seek Him. He's there waiting for you to come back to Him. But for those who have been persistently seeking after God, for those who have been following faithfully after God, I want to encourage you this morning, is that for those who have been faithfully follow Him, the Lord promised us is that there's a good news. There's a good news. There's a reward to those who earnestly seek Him. And the reward is you will live in joy and peace. And that's really God's desire and plan for you. It does not mean that you have no trouble in life. Because Jesus already said in this world, you will have trouble. But if you believe Jesus has the power to overcome them, you will find joy and peace in Him. And how do you find joy and peace in the midst of your trouble? How do you overcome and rise above the mountain? How do you find your victory in our Lord Jesus Christ? Find His presence. If you seek Him with all your heart, today, you will find Him. So what happens when you are in God's presence? What happens when you're in the presence of God? You know, I was at Switzerland 2 years ago, and there are, you know, in one thing about Switzerland is that there are many, many mountains, and those are really big mountains. And I remember that when I stood at the foot of the mountain, you know, they were so big and intimidating. They were huge. But once I took the cable car and reached to the top of the mountains, the rest of the mountain became smaller and less intimidating. Did the size of the mountain change? No. But what has changed? What has changed was not the size of the mountain. What has changed was my perspective of the mountains. So in the same way, when you are in His presence, your perspective towards life and trouble will change. When you are in His presence, you will realize the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. When you are in His presence, you will realize you are more than conqueror in Jesus Christ. When you are in His presence, you will realize that God is for you and not against you. When you are in His presence, you will realize He knows the plan for you. And His plans are good, not disastrous, to give you a future and a hope. When you are in His presence, you realize He wants to make you the head and not the tail. And you will always be on the top and never at bottom. When you are in His presence, you will know, you will realize His perfect love for you will cast out all fears in life. And finally, when you are in His presence, you will realize with man it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Are you going through some troubles in life? And you feel like giving up today? Are you stuck in a situation and you do not know what to do? But maybe some of us here, you know in your heart that you have left God. Maybe you have been coming to church, but like me, you have left God. You know your heart is not close to God anymore. You know that you are distant away from God. And in your heart, you're wondering, will God forgive me? If I come back to Him today, will He accept me? Seek Him today. Seek Him today. When you seek Him, you will know the answer. You know, sometimes God uses our failure, our weaknesses, and our brokenness to help us to know Him better. So when you are going through trial, don't give up too soon. Because that is the opportunity for you to know God better. That is the time that God wants to reveal Himself to you. That is the time that God wants you to know that His word is faithful. So when you're going through difficulty, don't give up. Seek Him. Wait upon Him. And if you press on today, God will transform your life and give you victory in Christ Jesus so that His name is glorified. May I invite us to stand as you come to a close. Today I just want to end. I felt what the Lord has put in my heart to pray for two specific groups of people. The first group of people are people where you know that you have, your heart has turned cold. You've been coming to church, but you don't feel close to God. You've been running away from God, but you're tired. Because you do not know how far and how long can you run. But you're tired. And today you want to come back. But you're wondering, you know, Lord, I have left you. I've been unfaithful. If I come back today, will you still accept me? Will you still love me? Will you forgive me? Come to him. Let God embrace you with his love. He is waiting for you. While you're running away, you think God has turned his face from you. No. While you're running away, God keeps his eyes on you. And he waits for the day where you will also turn back and run towards him. He is waiting for you. So if there's a person today, this afternoon, you have run away from God and you want to come back, God is waiting for you. The second group of people I felt led to pray for this afternoon are people struggling with their faith. You are in the situation where there are challenges, and you know God has the power to overcome it, but somehow you lack the faith and belief that God is able to do it. You know, just like a story that was shared in the Bible about a boy was demonic possessed, and his father called upon Jesus for help. And the father said to Jesus, "Lord, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus turned and looked at him. If you can, basically Jesus saying to him, is that what you think about God? That if you can? And then Jesus said, everything is possible for one who believes. And then the boy's father turned to Jesus, and then he called upon God for help. Jesus, I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief. And so this afternoon, if you're the person I'm talking about, you need that faith to overcome your unbelief. I believe God wants to renew your faith this afternoon. So I also want to invite you to come forward as a worship team. Lead us into a time of worship. As you're singing, come to the front and let the pastor pray along with you.
Too small in my eyes.
we are not going to take too much time. And you're the person that the Lord has spoken to you. Just want to invite you, come to the front. And let God do His work in your life. So we're not going to take too much time. So you're the person that the Lord wants to minister to you today. Just come to the front quickly so that we may pray along with you. Is there anyone here this afternoon that you are the person that you need God to renew your faith in Him once again? Alright, so you can still come forward later on if you need prayer. For the rest of us, alright, before we leave this place, okay, I just want you to turn to your neighbor, alright, and say, in Hokkien, alright, when you say do not afraid, in Hokkien they say, mai kia, okay, mai kia, alright. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, mai kia, God is with you. Alright. My kia, God is with you, alright? So even as we depart from here, just allow me to say a short prayer for us. And we're gonna ask God to give us faith. And even as we move out of this place, we want to pray that the Lord will continue to use us to be His light and His salt. Alright? And to shine for Him, alright, in wherever we are. Father, we want to thank You for Your word that's spoken to us this morning. I want to commit all my brothers and sisters in Christ into your hand. I just want to pray, Father, even as we depart from here. I want to ask, O Lord, that You will help us to remember that in any situation, in any challenges that we may face after this, help us to remember, my kia, don't be afraid, because You are with us. So I pray this, O Lord, for my friends and my brothers and sisters in Christ this afternoon. They will move out of this place in Your faith and to know that they are more than conqueror in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruz.org.sg. God bless.